approval of the agenda. So a motion to approve?
Motion, Grant.
Second.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approve the agenda. Approval of the minutes from last meeting. A motion to approve those.
Second.
Motion second. Minutes are approved. Up next, wildlife management update, Bob.
Before I begin, we have a new guest, or a new committee member who's joining us. Mark, do you want to make the presentation?
Well, the subject came up, but I mean, most of you know Hans Medlars is officially retired. So he's still with us in various endeavors, and Mr. Harmer joined us a couple months ago, so he wanted to come to one of our committee meetings to see what we're about and say hi and let you know a little bit about what he's about, so.
All right, well, thank you, Mark. Mike Harmer, born and raised in Delaware. I'm a Newark boy from Newark, Delaware. Little rivalry, you know, above and below the canal.
Newcastle here.
Yeah, okay, good, there you go. Some allies here. Yeah, engineer, definitely excited about the projects you got going on here at the airport. You know, we'll do our best to spend the money that we're given wisely and to accomplish the projects that are needed. I know Bob's got a whole laundry list of maintenance needs. And he's expressed that in the budget process. I support every single one of those initiatives, and we're scraping up the money to see what we can get done this year. And that's pretty much, you know, what you can expect, you know, from me is to try to get the projects done, do the right thing, tell you the brutal honest truth when the time comes, but try to give you the best news as possible, you know, that things are moving forward as you want to see it. So it's nice to meet you all, and look forward to working with you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike, and welcome aboard. Yeah.
Getting back to the agenda, wildlife management update. As always, on a daily basis, I continue to monitor wildlife activities on the airport when necessary. We do have means of being able to effectively remove wildlife on the airport. Birds, geese, other waterfowl. We have means, noise crackers, of being able to frighten them off the airport property. Deer, we have means of being able to deal effectively with deer also. I will admit that in the last 3 months, I have not been able to locate the three deer that I found on the airport during the winter. So I don't know if they've managed to wait and make their way off the airport somehow or whatever, but as always, we continue to monitor wildlife activities on the airport. Any questions on wildlife? Anything? Item five, airport update. Well,
I was going to say, I haven't seen those deer either.
You have not?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. Okay, because when I saw those three over the winter, they totally surprised me. They were in the grass area at the approach at the north end of the airfield under the approach of runway 22. I just sat there looking at them dumbfounded, wondering how the hell.
There in a long time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to hear that. Item five, airport update. I've only got two items, and one of them we spoke about at the last meeting. The Federal Aviation Administration has given us conditional approval of our next 20-year airport master plan. I had promised everybody that I would forward to you links to the 23-paged airport layout plan and the 438-page document that supports everything that you see in the airport layout plan. What has been decided at the airport management and the county administrative level is before we make this public, we want to have an opportunity to present the plan to the county council first. There are some hot topic issues in the master plan, and we just want the county council to be aware of what those are before we release that to the public. Some of those issues we might talk about briefly later as the conversation goes on, but if you want to take a look at the airport layout plan, it's sitting right there. After the meeting, I'll thumb through all the pages with you, and I can point out just some of the key projects and the means of how we're going to get to these projects, hopefully, if the FAA cooperates, over the next 20-year period.
You're going to be here then, right?
I'm sorry?
You're going to be here then, right?
You never know. You never know.
Hey, Bob, when does... It seems like we're still in this conditional approval status.
Right.
When does conditional turn to final? Is it related to it, grant closeout, or
all of the conditional approvals were subject to meeting and exceeding quota requirements for the runway extension. The FAA let us go ahead and put the runway extension in the plan.
Right.
They haven't approved the plan. That they haven't approved the runway extension. They allowed us to include the runway extension conditionally until we meet or exceed those operational requirements that we're all well aware of.
Well, I understand that. That's a project that's within the master plan.
Yes.
The master plan itself, which is our umbrella of what we want the airport to be in 20 years, is that, like, that's officially across the finish line.
Right.
Not
right.
The projects within
right.
The master plan, but the plan itself.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Because I think most of us are aware that when you look at the master plan, you look at the airport layout plan that was created with the 2007 master plan, and we were supposed to have development all up and down and all around that airport. Well, that never happened.
No.
So, you know, we've got projects in this plan, and one of those projects we're going to talk about is our next topic item, which, depending upon the availability of FAA funding, is going to extend over the next 5 years. If funding becomes a problem, it might extend over the next 9 years to complete a project that 10 years ago could have been completed within one construction season because of cost, the availability of FAA funds, and things such as that. So yeah, the FAA calls it conditional approval. But some of the projects that appear in the master plan have to exceed certain operational criteria before they can become approved, an approved plan. So, and that's all the runway extension. It's all attributed to the runway extension.
Hey, Bob. If I understand it correctly, the operational thing is landings and takeoffs, right? A lot of it.
Landing and takeoff by aircraft with a certain wingspan, which determines the runway width. The distance
that's where I'm
which
going.
The largest aircraft, the 25%, the FAA looks at the entire general aviation fleet as a 100% number. 75% of that fleet is capable, according to the Federal Aviation Administration, of being able to operate off a runway that's 5,500 feet. The remaining 25%, the Gulfstreams, the Boeing business jets, the Bombardiers, those aircraft have to operate at a 90% useful load and fly the maximum distance that will allow from the originating airport before they have to stop somewhere to refuel to continue on to an ultimate destination. That's the struggle that we have, and we have to record 250, basically one aircraft every Monday through Friday,
but
52
in
weeks.
But catch 22?
Yes.
You gotta have the length of the runway to be able for the bigger jets to land, but you can't lengthen the runway until you have so many landings and takeoffs for big planes, right?
Right, right. So it's a tricky subject.
How is it tricky? What does that mean?
We have to record those operations. And right now, the only resource that we have that's available to be able to record those are FAA records of these type of operations. And during the airport master plan process, the FAA informed us that, number one, we don't exceed that 250 operations per year that take some of that, of the 25% of the largest aircraft in the general aviation fleet. Those aircraft aren't flying those distances that are allowed at 90% useful load. In fact, the FAA told us, and let me read this. In addition, FAA policy, now, traffic management system count city pair data is the source for what is used in being able to document this information. Over the last 12 months, the average distance flown from Delaware Coastal Airport by these types of aircraft, has only been 549 miles. Well, I need these aircraft to travel, we think, working with Delta Airport consultants and trying to determine what that distance might be. I need 250 Gulfstreams to travel 1,500 miles. That's Grand Junction, Colorado. We're not getting anywhere near that. So until we meet or exceed 250 of the 25% largest aircraft in the general aviation fleet originating from Sussex, from Delaware Coastal Airport to points beyond Grand Junction, Colorado. We're not
going to
meet that. It's crazy. And the advisory circular that explains runway length requirements is one of the most confusing. In fact, I don't even think the FAA is able to give us a correct answer.
Maybe one thing to add is we did have a coordinational meeting with FAA a couple weeks ago on this subject as well as other subjects. This city pair data is not, unfortunately, it's not available. We can't access it. The airport can directly access it. So they told us to make an official request for an updated data set, 6 months, a year, whatever it is. They also told us that they think we're getting closer, but they don't know where the number is. So we are in the process of making that request so we can get updated data, like live data, to see where we stand. We're going to be soliciting our aeronautical design consultant, Delta, to assist us in interpreting that to see exactly where we stand. So we are getting updated data sets. Hopefully it's closer. We don't think we're there yet, but
right. The
other thing they've told us is that from an operational standpoint, we have to be consistent. So we can't just hit this threshold and then go back down. They want to see years, year, 2 years, 3 years of consistent threshold exceedance. So that's the other struggle we have. We don't know how long we're at. Stay up there before we can, we actually meet once in FAA's eyes as it relates to them approving any type of grant for anything that has to do with the runway extension.
Yeah.
So I have two questions. Are we beating a dead horse in trying to get the additional flights that go beyond Colorado? Will this airport ever reach that? My second question is, you alluded to funding. Is there funding that's holding us back from the county that they could put money into this project that would help us?
I think the county's only putting in about 5%. The rest of it comes 5% from the state, 9% to the feds, isn't it?
If we want the project to be funded under the FAA's Airport Improvement Program, where the FAA pays 90% of the cost, and Larry's right, the airport sponsor is responsible for the remaining 5%. Sometimes that's matched with funds from the state, other times it just comes solely from the airport sponsor. But if we want the project to be funded under AIP, then we have to meet and exceed this criteria. Are there other sources that might be able to fund this project?
Is there enough
funding
that the county can provide this? I mean, the county has, the paper reads, and Todd, I'm not I'm speaking out of ignorance, but can the county do this?
So the county has lots of money that's set aside for certain purposes. You read in the newspaper, some would say it exceeds $100 million. But that's not accurate because the money is in certain silos that can be spent on certain things. We estimate this will be north of $20 to $30 million. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask ourselves, the money that qualifies to build a 500-foot extension would be money out of our general fund, taxpayer dollars. So county officials have to decide if they want to spend $20 to $30 million for 500 feet of asphalt and other improvements that would go along with it.
And I follow that with, how important is this project to have that, have people like Doug and other, the other members of the council to approve it?
So to our tenant in a loft, it's very important.
Yes.
To the economic development and long-term future of the airport, it's very important. Senator Carper, it's very important. He's been as helpful as he can be, except for this very odd, probably not odd because you're spending other taxpayer dollars, but difficult threshold to get past to be eligible for funding to extend the right of way.
The only way, sorry.
Go ahead.
Proceed. The only way you're ever going to get the amount of, the quantity of flight you're looking for out of the aircraft that need to travel that distance is a fuel incentive. You've got to lure these jets out of Teterboro and those surrounding areas that will jump here for a $1.50, $2 difference in fuel, tanker up, and make the flight. That's the bottom line. When these jets are taking 1,500 gallons plus, 2,000, 3,000 gallons, the fuel incentive is the only thing that will lure them to this airport to leave from here.
I have several of the pilots that fly with me are corporate pilots. They fly these kind of jets. Global 6,000,
yep.
6,000 miles nonstop. And somebody's up at Gulfstream, et cetera. And what I see them, where they go, they're going to Amsterdam, Paris, London, New York, Washington, D.C., Houston, Dallas. They're not coming to Georgetown. Okay, their businesses that those kind of jets are supporting are not the ones coming to Sussex County to do business. They may be going to Newcastle if they're doing business in Wilmington, but not down here. So to get those kind of jets coming in here, what's going to bring them in here? It's got to be something really big to incentivize them to come here. But normally, you know, like one of the ladies who starts flying with me now, she'll take off out of Paris and go to Amsterdam, spend 6 hours, get out of there, and go to Beijing, overnight from Beijing. Next thing you know, she's in Houston, overnight, and you know, that's the way these corporate airplanes are moving around. That's the ones that's going to give us the number count. But what is going to have them coming? What is there here to bring that type of business that's operating a $20 or $30 million jet? What kind of businesses are here that they need to come here to do business? And there's not.
And Ezra brings up a point. Fuel may be an issue, but time is also an issue. You got the resources to be able to operate a Gulfstream.
That's why
detouring from Teterboro to here just to tanker fuel and then continue on to Los Angeles or somewhere beyond Grand Junction, Colorado, may not be that big of a deal. I mean, it may be for some, but. And we also have other issues, and this is some of the reasons why we want to discuss the airport master plan with the county council. I think a lot of people are under the impression that the runway extension is the only component in this whole equation. No, it's not. We have obstructions that we have to deal with, and the FAA has already told us that we can meet all this above criteria we've talked about, but the FAA is not even going to consider pavement until all above comments assume a no obstacle environment. Well, we've got a lot of obstructions that are in the approach surfaces, the transition zones that the FAA is going to want removed
as a component of the overall runway extension project.
I think,
and that's tough.
Having been around just for quite a while, it seems to me that I believe Aloft is the largest employer in the county.
Not in the county.
In the county, though, where would they rank?
How many employees?
350.
Top
10% or so?
Maybe.
And if they had that 500 foot, it allows Aloft to get a whole different class of aircraft in here, which allows them to expand and allow a lot more employment in the county. Good paying jobs, and just not minimum. These are not minimum wage jobs.
Right.
I guess when we have the A&P school here, you know, to me personally, and the exposure I've had to business travel, especially in the last few years, I got these folks flying for me that fly corporate jets all the time. I don't see us ever meeting that threshold with the corporate jet traffic that's going to be taken off out of here and flying to Paris or London or Houston or you know, wherever. I don't think meet that threshold. I think the path to getting that runway is going to be the economic impact to the county from what Aloft could do and the employment they could bring if they had that runway extension and the category of aircraft. You can bring 767s and 770 big cargo stuff in to work on if you had that runway, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. And so I go back to my question.
Possibly even some military, you know, contracts.
How important is this to the county that we do this?
From an economic development standpoint, anybody that's in business today, to put all your assets into one business, to be honest with you, to make a huge investment like the expansion of the airport, taxpayers' money for one business. And I'm not speaking for the county, just from a business standpoint. It's a little dicey, because if something happens to the business or something happens to the economy, then you've made that investment, huge investment, taxpayers' money, and things change, the economy changes. So if there's more than one business that's going to benefit from the runway extension, that's one thing. But you're putting all your eggs in one basket.
If you had that additional runway extension here, there would be other businesses attracted, peripheral to that, be attracted to this airport.
I don't see us doing one business. And
well, you know, something else, Ray.
But there will be other businesses that grow from the extension.
Right.
And it will happen. If you build it, they will come.
And something else to think, in this room with all of us gathered now, runway extension's a critical component.
Sure.
You go out and you randomly select 16 people off the street, their mood might be different.
Well, they don't know.
15 of them don't even know there's an airport here.
True.
No.
You're
the
right.
Roads widen. They don't want
You're
the
right.
airport like that.
That's right.
They don't
so now, know. So now, convince at least half of them that spending, that the county's spending a lot of money for one project.
Well, that's up to Todd and the county council. That job is up to them.
And
up to us.
And again, that's why we want to present this airport master plan to the county council first before we distribute it to the public. So let's go ahead and move on to item B, and we'll
Bob,
have.
Let me just
sure.
weigh one more spin at this. So it is important to the county and the county council. I'm not disagreeing with that point of view.
And I don't think that it's not.
And we're sort of attacking it or attempting to attack it in a different manner with the help of our federal delegation. And we've already gotten $1 million to jumpstart the project. And they've got language in the pending FAA reauthorization bill that's in Congress right now that has a program that's designed specifically for Georgetown, which will then pump additional money into this airport for this project. We're basically trying to get around the AIP project with Senator Carper's help. It is a Hail Mary. It's a Hail Mary. But it's also would funnel millions of dollars from the feds into the airport to improve and extend and not call upon the county to fit that whole bill with our own money. So the next step is going to be if the FAA passes the FAA reauthorization, Congress passes the bill, which is scheduled to be considered next month. So can we talk about this quarterly? Scott is pretty animated about his pursuit of this.
Just a little.
Yeah. Mark's been around them long enough to know what it's going to take. All right, I hope that helps.
So let's go ahead and move on to item D. Taxiway Bravo. Bids are currently being advertised for the first phase of construction for a four-phased construction project to build us an FAA compliant taxiway, design, constructed, everything. In our airport, in our FAA airport master plan, this project is shown as a six-year, six-grant project. We've already received the first grant for design of this portion of the project. The grant that we're getting ready to receive, hopefully be able to receive based upon the project cost, we'll hopefully construct this portion of Taxiway Bravo between Taxiway Hotel and Taxiway Bravo. We're going to redesignate this taxiway to something else later. We'll hopefully get this project under construction if FAA reauthorization happens quick enough. We can get a grant by late July, early August. Might be able to start construction of this 202-day construction project. If FAA reauthorization doesn't happen quickly, and we have to rush this grant through the month of September, preceding the new fiscal year that starts October 1st, we may have to postpone start of this construction until spring 2025. If bids come in beyond $3 million, and the FAA has told us, in addition to our $150,000 guaranteed entitlements that are a portion of the airport improvement program, the FAA has told us not to expect more than $3 million each year for each phase of the construction of this project. If this comes in over $3 million, we may have to push it off to 2026. Again, the project's estimated to take 202 days to complete construction, 200 days of 30-day stop work order while we wait for the pavement to cure to be able to include or apply final markings. The project's going to be built in several phases. Only at one time will either Taxiway Hotel or Taxiway Bravo be closed. We're not going to construct this project where both these intersections will be closed. That'll basically cut off access or easy access to runway 1028. So fingers are crossed. Bids are due next week.
It's May 1st, Bob.
May 1st? Bids have been pushed back to May 1st. That's good news. And fingers are crossed that this project's going to fall within the budget that the FAA has allocated for this project. Again, if costs come above that, we don't have the full resources to be able to implement the project without having a second year airport improvement grant make up the difference. So,
Bob, just to add a little bit, once we get the bids in, if they do exceed what we would look at opportunities to repackage the scope, so to speak, or pare down what people call value engineering, depending on which areas are high. So that's a possibility we can look at. The problem or the challenge with this job, with this project, is logical termini. You can't lop off part of the taxiway. It's got to start at one point and end at the other point. So we would have to look at other areas to chop off, maybe some drainage or something like that. But the paving would have to pretty much stay in. But we won't know that until the bids come in. So it's a possibility we could refine the scope.
If we're close, could the county pay for the delta?
I was going to ask
that. That could be an option.
Could be an option. We might be able to.
I mean, we would absolutely package the grant up first, put a ribbon on it, and you know, see where that goes. But yeah, there could be cost sharing.
I just can't see if it's a little bit short that we wouldn't.
Exactly. I mean, we wouldn't be.
We're
not talking millions. If this comes
in
higher.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, you know, 25% higher.
I can't see us not supporting the rest of it if needed.
So, you know, back in the good old days, you know, what's frustrating from an airport manager perspective is the appropriation to the airport improvement program has never exceeded $3.5 billion for over the last 14 plus years. And of course, what has happened is costs have increased, and $3.5 billion spread over 3,200 airports that are eligible for the airport improvement program. The money just doesn't go as far as it used to. You know, this used to be a project where, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you'd need only one grant for design and one grant for construction. Now you've got to piece these projects together because the resources just aren't there anymore.
Does this section have to be complete before we start on the design for the rest of it?
No.
We've already done that, Rick.
Yeah, the way the FAA told us to present the project in our FAA capital improvement plan, which you're familiar with, Rick. You know, we have two capital improvement plans, one that's approved by the FAA, one that's approved by the county. And sometimes the two mesh, you know, fairly well, other times they don't. But the way the FAA told us to attack this project is to basically divide the runway into two halves, or the taxiway into two halves. The first half, year one, they would design the entire, they give us an AIP grant to design the entire first half. Then two construction years over a 3-year period. Then the last half would be another 3-year period. That's the 6 years. Now we've already passed that first year. We're in the second year right now, which is construction of the first half of the first half of the project. The problem and the concern is, and we talked a little bit about this already, if the cost of this project exceeds $3 million, is the county going to want to be willing to make that make up that difference beyond the 10% that we already
have
to pay?
That's why I asked the question as far as the design schedule.
Yeah.
Because the implications of delaying a year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot more than
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know,
willing to take on.
But so, you know, we're moving forward. You know, the Taxiway Bravo project's been in the FAA capital improvement plan for this airport dating as far back as 2018, so it's been programmed to be our next project. We can't just decide to drop this project and do something else, because the way the FAA's capital improvement program works, it's a 5-year built-up program. If we were to drop this project and say, we don't want to do this, we want to do something instead, we don't have the instead project programmed into our 5-year capital improvement plan. We have to wait, I would think, a minimum of 3 years before any new project would trickle up the ladder and get AIP funding for whatever that project may be.
We tabled that possibility, and FAA said no.
Yeah.
Pushing the taxiway out a little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do it.
Nope. No, they did not,
unfortunately.
So that's all I've got. Well, again,
if this project moves forward, we'll obviously keep airport tenants aware with notices of shutdown, closure, progress, you know, progress on the project, whatever's necessary to whatever's necessary to keep you guys aware of what's going on.
Any more questions for Bob before we move on?
Great. One question. On the master plan rollout, have we looked at dates to come in front of the county council? Or
not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
And we talked at last meeting about some kind of workshop or open house. Is that the county council rollout, or is that something out here for tenants and users?
Tenant?
We talked about hitting the council first, which I think is more important to do, and then following that, we would try to look at some kind of workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And are we still waiting for McFarland Johnson to commit to that? Because that was supposed to be part of their scope, and I don't think
no.
they ever replied to that.
No, no.
That would require support from them.
Yeah.
So that they were our master planning consultants.
Okay.
And
that's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
I mean, that grant is closing, Bob, so that window may also be shutting. But,
yeah. I'll give him a call, and we'll. And I think we've had an email exchange about dates already. We haven't set anything. You know.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
But we'll work it out.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Target a date. You know, it'll be sometime in May. The dating.
Yep. That's all I have.
Will
that date be communicated to us?
Sure.
So this might be the council at the next meeting, but possibly the following meeting.
Possibly, yeah. I think we meet every Tuesday in May until Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I mean, you know, any presentation we put together for the council is going to have to answer some of these questions that, you know, we have about the runway extension and how the FAA administers the AIP program. I was talking about obstructions being as much a component to a runway extension project as is the pavement. These are the existing obstructions.
We talked about those last week.
That impact the existing runway.
Yeah, we talked about those.
This is an FAA priority before anything happens here. And that's on the two. And that's on the runway 4 end. Those are the obstructions on the runway 2-2 end.
Oh, it almost did.
And many of these obstructions aren't even in the approach surface. They're in the transition zones. And what we're hoping that we can work with Delta Airport Consultants and this grant that Senator Carper got us is to be able to concentrate obstruction to create an obstacle action plan on how we're going to attack these obstructions, focusing first on obstructions that fall within the approach surface. But if the FAA says, no, this tree over here is as critical an obstruction to this runway as is this tree right here, these have to come out also. Now, this project becomes an enormous project. And I know, because I've been through this before. Again, I've said it before. This is as critical a component as of a runway extension as is the pavement. And the FAA has already told us. All that 250 operations beyond, you know, 1,500 miles, all that obstructions are going to have to be addressed prior to any of those operations justifying the runway extension.
How do you propose to pay for that?
AIP. Of course, we got our AIP tied up for the next 6 years in our Taxiway Bravo project. And obstructions haven't been programmed in our FAA capital improvement plan yet. So we can't
just decide, hey, let's stop this Tap to Bay Bravo project and do this first? Well, we could. But the problem is, this hasn't been programmed in the FAA's 5-year capital improvement plan for this airport.
What we can do is actually introduce that as a final project in the next capital improvement program process, which is going to be done in months.
Yeah.
The challenge is a lot of these are not on county road properties,
yeah.
So we have access, egress, and easement issues that we also need to deal with, so it's going to be a challenge.
Sure. Welcome to my world. Yeah.
So, everybody chip in a chainsaw and cover the gardens.
Bottom line, stress test.
How much of the property owned by the airport versus on private property?
The majority is on county-owned property,
yeah.
But not all of it. I don't know, a percentage, 75-25.
Removing trees on county-owned property, if it's necessary for clearing this, and selling the timber, why is that such a big deal?
Same question I asked.
Well, wetlands,
yeah.
Endangered species, things like that.
Yeah.
All, you know, bureaucratic.
I got a shotgun and a chainsaw.
I think that happened once before in the county.
Yeah.
And popular.
That all is also important, but what I think we've discovered, because I had the same reaction.
So
right. We got a couple guys. Let's go get it done.
So Larry, there's a process with FAA called this. You probably know this, Section 163 determination, where they want to know what our endeavor is, and they'll give us feedback on what some of the steps we need to take, including possibly having to do an environmental study or assessment on just cutting trees down. So we're not constructing a runway, but
anyway, remember,
revved up, ready to go.
They want to weigh in on what we're proposing to do, where we're proposing to do it on airport control property, not off of airport.
Lord
and
help
then
us
give
if there's a rare woodpecker living in one of
those
trees.
Or the Delmarva fox squirrel or an Indian burial ground, you're right.
Talking about burial grounds, some of the old timers, when I first came up here over 20 years ago, was telling us that there are some old naval aircraft
buried right about up in here. But that's what the Navy did to crash airplanes back in World War II. They just dig a hole,
push
them off in there. They'd salvage maybe the engine or guns or anything and bury them. I helped excavate a Corsair out of down in Virginia one time, exactly that. Landing accident, bulldozer, put the airplane in there.
You know where the Wicomico County Humane Society is on mm-hmm. Salisbury Airport property? It was originally supposed to go across the street from where it is right now. When they started excavating the property, they started digging up maybe desks, file cabinets, mm-hmm. and they were just dumped there.
Wow.
I had no idea it was there.
Washington
Naval
out.
Yard on the Anacostia River, Washington Naval Yard will forever be a federal naval base because there's so many toxic waste been buried there. It will never be anything other than a federal naval base, even though it'll never be used as a naval base because of that. But here, you know, there's more than one old timer that was here back during the war who was telling me back then. That there's a hell diver out there, there's a TBM at least that are buried out there somewhere around the area where the state police hangar is. In that area. But here's the issue though. If you dig it up, the Navy will come and arrest you for stealing government property.
It's what happens when they pull up airplanes out of Lake Michigan.
I know some folks that went to federal prison for recovering a wildcat out of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And the feds came and arrested him in the middle of the night, hauled him away in handcuffs for stealing government property.
You know, what? One final issue, and then we'll bring this subject to an end. You know, remember this. All of the airport property that falls within our FAA-identified airport property line is subject to FAA compliance. And every year that Sussex County accepts an AIP grant, we sign grant assurances that assure the federal government that we're going to comply with all of their silly requirements and, you know, and environmental issues, cutting down trees on federally obligated property is one of those assurances that we promise the FAA will obey. So, you know,
well,
again, this is a crazy, wacky world, but if you skip a process, if you skip a step in that process, and the FAA finds out about it, boy, it can bite you right here.
And it bit
Sussex County years ago with an obstruction removal project.
When we were trying to build an airport in Calvert County, Maryland, it's the only county in the state of Maryland that does not have a public use airport. So we were put together, I was meet airport commissioner, and we went all out, Delta consultants for our consultants, located a property, spent a couple of million dollars, this is 30 years ago,
yeah,
in development. It was totally shut down because they found one eagle's nest.
Yeah.
And eagles will reuse a nest.
Yeah.
The entire project in that site was shut down because of one eagle's nest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folks with chainsaws want to take care of that, but it shut down that whole site.
Yeah.
As silly as that seems.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even actively being used,
mm-hmm,
but it could be reused.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I had to deal with eagles.
That's how insane
down
our
south.
Government.
But Larry, the endangered.
So Calvert County still does not have a public use airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the county and the state.
Bait for the future. Future meeting.
Yep,
well,
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Get public comments first.
Give it back to Rick here.
We have any public comments?
No.
Okay. So now, next meeting date.
Since April is our second quarter, we always have a meeting before Wings and Wheels, which Wings and Wheels is the 5th of October. So the next meeting, September the 25th, that would be the third quarter. I know it's a few months out, but a meeting before that would put us in July, August. A lot of vacations, a lot of holidays.
When is Labor Day?
September 2nd is Labor Day.
Okay. I have no problem with that. Anybody else?
I mean, let's look at something in July. If people can make it, they can make it.
Or do we want to do June?
Then you'd have one in July and September, because you have to have one in September for the week before Wings and Wheels. That's up.
Oh, we skipped the summer.
You did.
We have
last year.
Last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last couple of years.
25th?
September 25th, if that's.
Yeah, I'm in.
That works for me. All right, September 25th it is.
Move to adjourn.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Motion.
Got a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. No. Just finished up rudder last week. So here.